Log Talk Radio.
My apologies, everyone. We had some studio issues which kept us off air, but we are on now. So welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, 10 p.m., till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday evenings and earlier in the day. We also have a brevity show. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft of Soul and Art with Richard and Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. Saturday, split with Gray Ice Howling at the Moon and the Canadian Wilds Bring You Bad Company, and Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Daniel. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, airing Sunday through Saturday mornings, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m. Take a Walk on the Wild Side on Tuesdays. Join Jeremy on Thursday as he brings you the Headliner's Ball. Friday, Crawl Into the Darkness with Pam. Break On Through with Pam. Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babbler as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. And Sundays, join Robert M. with the Solace of Shadows. Tips for our shows, the prompts for all of them, and a call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. How you doing, Gene? You there? Am I here? Or did I just waste my time? Hello?
Wrong button. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, my God. I'm going to shoot myself. Sorry about all that. I had I wouldn't let me back. It just wouldn't let me come back. I was like, what is going on? Four times I had to reboot. Four times.
Well, I think I got it right. I put up a ghost and a robot, so there must be a ghost in the machine tonight.
There you go. There you go. That was weird, because it was right before we were due to come on, and next thing I knew, I tried to reboot my computer, and it came up, but it wouldn't let me back in, and then I had to do it a second time. And the whole time I'm thinking, oh, the music's playing. No music's playing, because I can't hear anything, right? And I think I'm still in the studio. And I'm like, oh, God, man, I have Rex is on hold. I can't pick him up because I can't see him. I'm like, oh, my God. Then I'm like, well, maybe Pam will call in. And I'm like, nah, that is going to happen. You know, because that's just the way of the beast. You know, when things get screwy. So I apologize for the messed up beginning. Would you like me to play your intro song?
I have the slightest idea. I had to hang up and call back in, and I still couldn't hear nothing.
Did you really? Oh, God. Well, would you like me to play it? Because I don't
think
it's said,
Welcome, listen to the show, but there was nothing there.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Well, yeah, I was like hanging here on hold on my phone. I had my phone muted. It's okay. Well, if you want, I'll hit the button and we can listen to it. I mean, it's up to you. I mean, I already laughed up the whole intro, so, you know, we could do it or we could all have to. And hello, everybody out there in Radio Land. Oh, yeah. God. just June again.
Gotta have a bit of fun every now and then.
Every now and then, you just gotta throw us a curve. That's the way that works. That's the way it works. I want to see if we can get it back up and going again. That's all that is. Let me see. Where are we? Oh, I'm looking for the room. That's what I'm doing right this minute. Because I'm all out of whack. Because none of my tabs are open or anything else. And there's that. Okay, I'm getting there, Rex. I'm getting there. I'm almost back where I'm supposed to be.
Jeez. That's all right.
So, yeah. What a day.
Well, in the meantime,
I was doing really
go ahead and put up that. Go ahead and do Bob Dylan's version. I
okay,
doubt a
you
whole
got
lot
it,
of people
buddy.
Ever heard it, but why not?
Okay. Here goes.
There must be some way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine. Plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now. The hour is getting late. The view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Original, that came out. That came out in 67. Bob was healing up from a motorcycle crash he had in 66. So he,
wow.
At the end of November 67, he put it, got it recorded, and it went out somewhere later that year. That's around December or early January the next year. Somebody brought Jimi Hendrix a copy of that on a reel to reel, and he listened to it and he started fiddling with it. He recorded it, wasn't satisfied, and kept recording it over the summer out in in New York. He finally got with somebody after overdubs and a lot of cuts, and went from from 4-tracking up to 8-tracking and then to 12-tracking because he was making so many cuts to it. Finally, they pieced it together to the final version that Hendrix put out. That was, around August of 68. And Hendrix's version kind of hits on that note of Muddy Waters blues while Bob's was in line with Olive Guthrie and Robert Johnson in the way he played the blues and the lyrics along the lines of how Olive Guthrie put his stuff together back in the day.
Very interesting.
You feeling better now?
They're like two completely different animals, his and Hendrix's version. You know?
Well, yeah.
I mean, we know songs, but...
Dylan was just an acoustic guitar, the harmonica, a bass, and a drum kit. Jimmy went with, he took that harmonica riff and turned it into parts for his guitar. So it has a really deeper and more mystical flavor to it. And Bob Dylan loved it. And somewhere after that, Bob started taking up an electric guitar and playing. And when he finally went back out on the road to do concerts, that was 72. That was the first time he played All Along the Watchtower. And it's the one song he's played more than any other in concert. He's done it more than 2,350 times.
Wow. Well, something else. But good stuff, good stuff. I have to say, I think I like Hendrix better, though. And I think I do.
I do too.
An ear preference, you know? Yeah.
It holds a deeper tone of meaning.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, he just belts it out there. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I guess maybe I shouldn't chatter away or spark up conversation because I wasted about 15 minutes of our show time. So how about I start with putting up a poem for you?
That'll work.
That's terrible. Okay, here we go. And this is Watching the Watchtower by Damian Victor. So whenever you're ready, Rex.
Watching the Watchtower by Damian Victor. Get that poster way out of here, said my mother to me twice. That man is pure evil, you hear. He's really not very nice. So, Jimi Hendrix had to come off my wall, but she didn't ban his records. So Electric Ladyland on the player got mauled. All Along the Watchtower with meaningful words. Penned by Bob Dylan in 66 after his motorcycle got in a wreck. Released in 67, it forever sticks as one of the greatest songs to hit the deck. There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. It is believed Dylan was referring to fears of getting ripped off by his management chief. No reason to get excited, the thief kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. Trying, I think, to express to Dylan, it seems that it was not as bad as he deemed. Others also think the lyrics refer to war, since old Bob was the best protest singer. But it really doesn't matter what he wrote it for, as the song, regardless, is a real ringer. Jimmy heard the song on Dylan's demo tapes, and being the electric guitarist, as was his job, just couldn't resist the lure and took the bait, recorded in 68, just two months after Bob. Hendrix kept it in the Billboard charts for 9 weeks near the top, not so sinister, and Bob liked how Jimmy's version starts, so changed the replay to sound similar. Either way, by either one, you can't help but say that both Hendrix and Dylan were famous. The lyrics and either version still resonate today, but I still miss that poster. It was contagious. End poem.
Right.
All right, me. What do you think?
I thought this was an excellent, right? This is almost like your lead-in, you know, it's all the information in it. And I thought it was a great addition to the show tonight. Well penned and just really, really nicely done. Very informative piece, but not, not done in a... you know, a news press kind of fashion. You know, it had more oomph to it, and it had some interest, and I liked that about it. So great job, and thanks for sharing with us, Damian. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I got to kick it off with the that opening stanza, rolling with the song, and something making it personal. Hey, Mama couldn't get that poster off the wall. So, but the record got to stay. So that was good. He does pack in a lot of information, some of which I already carried, and there was the thoughts to the Joker and the Thief being that notion of him being the Joker and his management chief being the Thief. That did run in there. There was also a section that some believed might have come from the book of Isaiah, where it referred to the watchtower and God and all things. And it really kind of hits on that note of what Dylan put in there. But there were plenty of others who did think it was war-related because of what was going on. So anyway, anybody takes the song itself, looks at it, whatever they read into it, they're probably on the right track. And the back end of this, something I didn't offer up, but Damien did. Bob did like how Jimmy's version starts, so my guess is that's why he started picking up the electric guitar afterwards, just to get that very same little hint of feeling. And he's done, well, I think it's like 20 different versions of the song, so there's always a little bit of something else in it from Bob Dylan's point of view. The song's been done by a ton of people, so nicely done, Damien. Thank you very much, and cheers, mate.
I hope to hear more from him. Nice work.
Actually, yes, because we first saw him last week with his EP, so this is his second weekend, and glad to have another person from down under join us.
Absolutely. I agree. Pretty cool stuff. Okay, Rex, well, I guess I'll put up the next piece. I guess I'll read this one. Otherwise, you're going to be hoarse by the end of the night. This one is called Letting Time Steal From Me by Julie Buck. I used to look for ways, and now just get out of, wow, let me try it again. In, okay, hang on, I'm a little confused on the first line. Oh, sorry. I used to look for ways in. Now just get me out of here. I've been my own fool for many, many years. Like a mule, the clutter I carried, too disoriented, I never learned. I cursed the day I went away. I cursed more when I returned. Letting time steal from me, too much mindless mockery. Laughing in life's fading face, what's funny about living? I asked it with this place disgrace. Somewhere there is a way out. Somehow I can be again. Don't tell me not to be upset, not when all I do is sin. Letting rhyme feel for me, and poem.
Great, Gene. There's a little bite in this to rolling within the same tune of Dylan and Hendrix as far as the voice goes and some of the phrasing and the words itself. I like the thought. I used to look for ways in as though trying to fit in as opposed to being yourself. I've been my own fool for many, many a year. Like a mule, the clutter I carry, baggage. First day I went away, take more when I return. Oof. Yeah, sometimes it's never a good thing to return home to those spots that stick in your mind. The mindless mockery laughing in life's fading face. What's funny about living, I ask with displaced disgrace. Somewhere there is a way out. Somehow I can be again. Don't tell me not to be upset. Not when I do it spin. A notation to rolling into the same patterns of life that sometimes crop up, always grab us by the throat, and make sure we follow that line of thought, reasoning, and whatever else comes with it. So, and the idea of letting time steal from me is that note of paying so much attention to the little things that nag that all of a sudden 5, 10, 20 years have gone by, and where the hell did it all go? And it comes with, or it goes with the fact that you spent too much time pondering on that, which you have no control of sometimes, and refusing to move on from things. I like that. Thank you, Julie. What about Eugene?
Eugene. Okay, Eugene should not get the hell off during silly stuff. You know, I thought it was nicely penned. It was a nice piece. It was short, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It was well constructed. It didn't need a whole. It didn't need anything else. So it was enough. And I thought it was just a nicely expressed and a great share. You know, I think Betty did a fine. Betty, listen to me. Julie did a great job with the with this take on the prompt. So nice job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, Rex, that's going to bring me back to you. And this is a piece by Time Seller.
On top of a tower of watches, watching the sun set. Your Time Seller. It's hot. My balls are sweating, and I'm sat at the kitchen table where it's cooler. Only the chair is hard like thinning arse cheeks. I like the couch, but it's sticky with indented knees. I like the chair upstairs, but it's an oven on gas mark infinity. So strumming fingers, tapping feet, itchy beard, and the growing dilemma. Stay and try, or get up and go out for a drink. Escape the seat. There's no way out of the doldrums, even with a strong breeze. And my brain has left memory damaged by frost and antifreeze. Or was it weed, consumed in all the wrong places, along these walls built by the deeds and so many wrong faces? Trapped between the joke of living and the thief of time, we built a tower of watches so damn fine. We traveled an easy path that led all the way to home and found only a prison and a dog without his bones. We're stuck between, and you don't want to say it ain't so. Joe, you're no joker, and they play hard to get. Set your sights far left, drifting within the wind they blow. So we're never getting out of here. There's no dentist, doctors, only vets. And we try to make amends, but they won't play unless still living in the past, twisting arms, drowning so, so fast. And all that airport and traveling entourage ship still carries with me all the way up the watchtower, even at the top, where youth cannot see and wisdom can only look backwards as this tower wobbles and sways. No, you weren't born to be a watchmaker, watch the gin palace serenely float in, weren't born to be a leader of a chosen team or dream like a dreamer among the many, weren't born to be a carpenter, sail the seven seas, weren't born to be a homemaker that can plainly be seen. Weren't born to travel so light, slowed by baggage and conflicting fights. Weren't born to ride the eastern sun, see the glory of morning, or setting sun on an evening run. There's no escaping out of here. This is the place I made myself. And this is the place if we look, we can find so much wealth. And problems. All right. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought this was... So this is a really cool take on the prompt. You can feel bits and pieces of the song, the actual song, throughout this poem. And I think that the interpretation and the way he expressed it was very well done. I really enjoyed the piece. I was looking for a stanza to pluck forward, but unfortunately, I was busy listening to the next stanza, so I could get back to it. But such a really nicely done take on that. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like that vibe of the third stanza. So strumming fingers, tapping feet, itchy beard, and the growing dilemma. Stay and try, or get up, go out for a drink. That notice, because from the first moment in, it's the idea of sit and sweat in the moment, or look for something which offers a different edge, maybe even a thought to cooling down. There's no way out of the doldrums, even with a strong breeze, and my brain has less memory damaged by frost and antifreeze. Or was it weed, consumed in all the wrong places, along these walls built by our deeds and so many wrong faces. Now, this speaks of kind of like Julie's, but this one goes into the actual maybe condemnation of self and offering up hate. The home and life you build is built on that which you have done. And the back end of this hits on that idea of maybe owning up to it as well. And there's no escaping out of here. This is the place I made myself. And this is the place, if we look, we can find so much wealth. The idea of stop looking for that little edge across the road, neighbor's yard, or maybe the next block or the next city or the next state. The idea of being, hey, there's a lot of richness around you. Look at what you've got already. Quit pining and bitching about that which you might want. Own up and enjoy that which you do have. I like that. Nicely done, C. Thank you very much.
Right, right. Hey, as for this stanza I was looking for, this is the one that caught my ear. Trapped between the joke of living and the peace of time, we built a tower of watches so damn fine. We traveled an easy path that led all the way to home and found only a prison and a dog without his bone. I thought that pulled in a whole lot of the elements of the original song, and I think it was nice work. So I thought I'd share that.
Yep.
Okay. Here we go. Now, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Rose Winter 515. And it is called Eternity Can Wait. Okay. Let me give it a read. A thief of time, joker in the pack of wolves in our universe. Den of thieves, cubs, no way out. Watchtower over us all. But God, our universal creator, protects us here on Earth and abroad. And we survive. With help from our friendly moon and wonderful, life-giving sun, in this diminute particle of the ever-expanding universe of time and material. End poem.
Great, Regine. I like that. You look at the feet of time immaterial, the notes to top and bottom, and the joker in the pack of wolves, the wolves being that idea of time ticking away, and the joker in that is the fact that we pay so much homage to time, and time thieves no matter what. It still ticks away, and no matter what you do, you still complain about not having enough time in the day, but that comes down to why you're trying to pack so much into a singular day. There should be time for enjoyment instead of just the rush of things. Because it's a watchtower over us all. There's a nice note to, I forget which, is that the Seventh-day Adventist, the Watchtower books? Not quite sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a reference. Reference to that, then offering that the thought of God, our universal creator, protects us here on Earth and abroad, and we survive with the help from our friendly moon and life-giving sun. A note to the life cycle of arising and sleeping, and in this, the minute particle of the ever-expanding universe, we forget that each tick of second is just one minute particle moving on ever so slightly with every little tick of the clock. And it is a material thing, so much attention to time when you should be enjoying time in life. What about you, since you got to read it?
Okay. Well, just, Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let me see. That one. Sorry. Here we go. I'll put this piece up for you. Well, maybe in a minute I'll put it up. It's going to be another one of them moments. Here we go. This is by Bob Pallister for you to read. And I'm having a little internet trouble here. I'm trying to send it.
I got it.
You got it? Oh, God bless you.
Nope, didn't come up yet. Unless you put it somewhere else.
Okay. Okie dokie. Well, Rex. Let him try it.
All right, no problem.
Can you get to the poem by Pallister?
Yes, I just moved into the section.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Nothing's moving quick for me. Here we go again.
No, all right. There we go. This is All the Women Shamed and Sent After Dylan and Atwood by Bob Pallister. And the dry leaves and dead locusts sculpted drift against the wall, while flapping shutter hinges mock the feral feline's call, and the daughters of oblivion were lectured by the sons about how the great catastrophe made them the chosen ones. And the future they'd been promised just passed them by in a blink, as the cold burnished rings of love turned into chains, link by cold link. Businessmen and plowmen, joker thief and petty crooks, found a story they could twist inside that ancient tattered book, whose telling seemed to make each one the king of their own earth, as the jail became a palace where they stole the gift of birth. End poem. Nice rhyming there. Are you, did you? Oh, there you are. What'd you think?
You know, it was a great poem from what I could hear, but I've been trying to solve this issue, so I have not actually
heard. Oh, you can't see it. Okay.
Yeah, I can't see it, so sadly I have to tell the truth and say I can't comment right now. But I'll be happy to do so in a bit.
No problem. All right. Let me see it. East fashion, it kind of walks along the same notion and path as the lyrics themselves. And the dry leaves and dead locusts sculpted drifts against the wall, while flapping shutters hinges mock the feral feline's call. So it brings that note of a cat calling it coming into this, as opposed to the howling of the wolf. But the shutters, flapping shutters hinges, and the mock the feline feral call. There's a nice note of darkness right in there. And the daughters of oblivion were lectured by the sons about how the great catastrophe made them the chosen one. There's a touch of either that's a note to both or one claiming ground above the other. And then that notion, and the future they've been promised is passing by in a blink as the burnished rings of love turn into chains, link by cold link. It offers up a note the other. That does hit on the idea that one claiming the top over the other and finding out things don't exactly work out to what they want, because once you set to retain yourself as the master of all, so to speak, it does turn what should be a shared life into a cold, miserable chasm where now you're locked into it, chain by link by link, but those links are very, very cold. As the idea of playing out is, hey, you might be the master, but I hold the lock to this key, so to speak. Now I like the bottom end. Businessman, plowman, joker, thief, and petty crook found a story they could twist inside the ancient pattern book. Whose telling seemed to make each one of the king of their own earth, as the jail became a palace where they stole the gift of birth. Nice touch there. The jail became a palace. Yeah, you might have nice things and all, but you're not really living because you've changed yourself to the idea of being the master overall. Oof.
Keep talking, Rex.
Okay.
Be right back.
Okie dokie. Well, I guess I can grab the next one. So
that would be awesome. Thank
you. No problem. All right. Here we go. All right. We have Revolution Falling by Pee Wee Kusong. Intimidating iterations, these false prophets in your hands. Only disease and pestilence reigning now in your lands. Gypsum, weed, and loneliness, only thieves you had ever known. You find your mind so oppressed, seeds of dissent you had sown. Climbing up those ebony towers, trying to hold fast to your will, but the clock is going to strike 13 and drag you down to Yggdrasil. Revolution calling, light a match, strike the gong. One among us will now make the end come on. Revolution calling, bringing peace to all the trees. One among us will shake us all down to our knees. Twisted up and shaken down, you find your mind disturbed. The joker laughs beneath you, all things you never have heard. And baskets from your heavens raining down over your head, bringing you the peace you need, allowing us to wake the dead. Revolution falling, the skies come raining down. There is one among us who will don the crown. Revolution falling, let us all kiss our ass goodbye. One among us will bring together earth and sky. Grab hope that slipped away, every gene you couldn't hold, splitting heaven's headache as your time is growing cold. Revolution rising, the end of a new day dawns. The one above us bringing down the hand of God. Revolution rising to the world we knew. The one above us now running your world through. And poems. Quite a bit packed in here, Pee-wee. Thank you very much. I like that thought. You bring in a Yggdrasil. And I had a moment of brain fart trying to pronounce that. That's the tree of life represented in Norse lore and myth. I like that thought rolled in there. There's a touch of offering up a note to Ragnarok, but not with the thought of gods themselves, but the thought of God bringing down that of the last days, so to speak, the great confluence where everything sweeps across this world and all things, the great war, and the baskets from your heavens raining down over your head, bringing you the peace you need, allowing us all to wake up dead. That note to the second coming and rising, I guess. Revolution falling, let us all kiss our ass goodbye. One among us will bring together earth and sky. Grab hope that slipped away, every dream you couldn't hold, splitting heaven's headache as your time is growing cold. There's a not just about the revolution itself, it's about the apocalypse reigning and that which comes after, which is supposed to be a thousand years of peace and prosperity. Like the influence you rolled into this, Pee-wee. Nicely done. Gene, you back yet?
I'm kind of here, and I'm kind of not.
No.
There, I called in the recruits. Gray is here to save the day. Thank you, Gray.
You bet.
Hey, Gray, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Rex?
I'm just fine. Thank you very much. Happy to have you come on board. We've been having studio issues.
And I'd like to welcome caller area code 763 to the show. Who's calling, please?
Hey, it's Dexter. I can only hang for a little bit. I got first day of two-a-day starts tomorrow for football, so I'll hang as long as I can.
All right. Glad to have you on board, Dad. All right. Let me go Let me go grab the next one. And, oh. Dex, this one's for you.
Okay.
As soon as it, there we go. There you go. That's all, folks. Bye, Brother right. Jacob.
Brother Jacob, that's all, folks. The kingdom gazed from their watchtower. It seemed their downfall was this hour. They brought confusion upon themselves by believing fairy tales such as Santa's elves. What started out as a joke meant to be harmless fun became their prison and made them undone. In life, there's a time to make jokes and a time to be serious. There's a time to be sane and a time to be delirious. The thief no longer steals. The joker no longer jokes. Porky Pig closes with his usual. That's all, folks. And poems.
Excellent. I'm wondering if you were going to do that, Dex. I'm glad you did. Thank you very much. Greg, why don't you?
Yeah, you did a fabulous read on it, Dexter. But, you know, I like the poem. You know, it was deep. You know, I mean, for such a short little brevity, it had a lot of depth to it. And I like the outlook. The thief no longer steals. The joke no longer jokes. Porky Pig closes with as usual. That's all, folks. So, yeah, it's just an excellent poem.
Thank you, Greg. And, Dex, you got to read it. How about you?
I thought he did a good adaptation from the song. But there's kind of a serious kind of note, I feel like, to this kind of, too, that fairy tales such as Santa's elves, it started off as a joke to be harmless. That became their prison and made them undone. I feel like part of that is kind of the veil that's being taken back about, like the religion and being able to celebrate these different holidays within school, and now all of a sudden all these things are becoming just this kind of hot topic. You can't say that. You shouldn't say Merry Christmas to people and all of these kinds of things. So, I don't know. I just felt like it was a good write.
I get your gist in that. I kind of walked along that same tone, that note with the where you hit on the Santa's elf. I took that as a nice big metaphor representing a good piece of this, because what started out as a joke meant to be harmless fun became their prison and made them undone. And then that note, there's time for jokes and there's time for serious. There's time to be sane and it's time to be delirious. I forget, there's a song, Turn, Turn, Turn. That kind of note comes from there. The thief no longer steals, the joker no longer jokes. Porky Pig closes with the usual. That's all, folks. It is. It's a note of the crumbling of society's morality, the structure that holds it and binds it together. And once that's gone, everything dissipates into a morass of chaos and destruction. And it's a great metaphor rolling through this piece. Thank you, Brother Jacob, as well as for the little noted laugh with the Porky Pig reference. That was much appreciated. All right. Gray, this one's for you. All Along the Watchtower by Louis 20.
There is a way out of here, the joker and the thief. I'm perplexed by the confusion present in the maze of my colorful world. Please give some relief to princes and proud men and women. Come and go. They drink my wine and plow my land. Jimi Hendrix strums on his guitar as the business and people walk by. The words echo all along the watchtower, said the thief. On this sunny day, the lyrics still resound for all to hear. The servants walk on through the watchtower. but you're fighting as animals growl and winds howl along the watchtower. The riders travel on peacefully. End poem.
Great read there, Gray. Thank you very much. Dex, what do you think?
This was an interesting write. Packed full kind of brevity. Gives some relief to princes and proud men and women. I feel like this is definitely a difference in class, I feel like. He talks about the princess and the women and things like that, and then he talks about the servants. I definitely feel like there's a difference in class, and people that are either princes and people that are also servants or also people that really aren't buying into the whole system as a whole. And I feel like those are the riders that are traveling peacefully, by. It's an interesting write, and I thought it was well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. And great. How about you?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it has a wonderful take off of the song, and I thought he captured the essence of the song quite skillfully, so beautifully done.
Absolutely. There's that note right up top. And I'm perplexed by the confusion present in the maze of my colorful world. There is a note to the trappings that come with the world and the flex that should be there but clearly isn't, since everybody finds so much glee and solace in being combative and sometimes downright mean. And I think that's what he hits on with the back end of this. Quit your fighting as animals growl and win hell. It's kind of almost a double notation that we are acting no better than animals as the wind howls. And that notation to the watchtower, the riders travel on peacefully. Hey, they can hear what's going on inside, so they don't bother making that stop, which is usually what the watchtower represents, a place of sanctuary, a place where a traveler can bed down for the night, grab a meal, enjoy the company, and be fresh for the next day. And there's not a whole lot of that these days. So, nice little. Thank you very much. All right. I'm going to apologize up front here, Dex, but we don't got no females in the house right now, so we have to play one off on you. Oh,
I'm here.
Can you read? Can you read?
I made it back. I can.
Can you?
All right.
You can have Betty Page. Die Castle by Betty Page.
Okay. Let me find a room. I'm new to this, It's hard to get good help these days. Not everybody. I'm about the worst, too. This is called Sky Castles by Betty Page. Building dream castles beneath pretty pale blue sky. Seashore, summertime, awaits crushing waves, pounding, tumbling all around, coming up for air. Laughing our first time, yet on continuous reels, wanting just to ride, to glide into shore as before when we were kids. No cares in the world. We'd race across sands, play fight within clear waters, enjoying each day. Sip pink lemonade, munch on Venice Beach pizza, old-fashioned ice creams. Snack shops and candies, watermelon bubblegum, beach time melodies, cruising retro cars, motorcycle adventures, suntan by the shore. Picture-perfect days, memories tattooed within cherished infinite. On merry-go-round, spins fast on carnival rides, perfect day until dark looming storm clouds, life's inevitable ride, roller coaster high. Fangs pierce infinite, circumstances are villains, jokers testing fate. Over and over, our sandcastles are destroyed. Yet we rebuilt them, stronger, much stronger. So again, we may laugh loud, knowing we've survived. Rain again may fall, lightning flashes, steals kisses, thunder creates fear. It's what we do then, that will matter most of all. Must let love prevail. Let's build sky castles above storms and all the rain. Create some rainbows. End poem.
Ooh, great read, Jean. Boy, this is a nice lengthy piece by Betty. Something a little different with a little bit of a profound thought rolled into it as well. All right, Dex, what do you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed this quite a bit. The imagery and metaphor in this is superb. You know, she ties a lot into this kind of ride, you know, and yeah, there's just a lot to digest in this one. But it really kind of, you know, the sky castles, it kind of had this feeling almost like of a carnival ride. So, you know, and that's in there, but she really did a good job of packing all that imagery within this, like a fair. So very well done.
I like that, Dex. Thank you. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a wonderful take on Jimmy's song. You know, I liked the length of it as well, but the lines were short and sweet. Each one, you know, laying into the next one, quite beautiful. You know, it's deep, it's layered, it's rich in its presentation. Just fantastic, right?
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. And Jean, since you got to read it.
Yes, and I'm still here. It's a miracle. I thought this was a great piece by Betty. I thought it was a fabulous take on the chosen lines, and it was really well done. You know, the line she chose were, "There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate." I assume that that's a part of the song, because she's got it in quotes there. But really a nice take on that, because so many times through life, you know, you try and get through, and it beats you back down, and, you know, you lose, you kind of lose your place in it, because something, you know, you build it up and it falls apart, and you've got to build it back up again, you know, and we all do it, you know, in different areas or spots in our lives, you know, and they always say it's not how many times you fall down, it's how many times you get back up. So, you know, I didn't make that up, you know. But an excellent piece, Betty, and thank you for sharing. Yeah, it's a good read.
Absolutely. Those four stanzas light out on that note of summertime play for kids. Crashing waves, pale blue skies, seesaw, summertime, as before when we were kids. No cares in the world. Then she gets in a little more relevant. As you get older, there are other things to play fight within the clear waters. Munching pizza on Venice Beach, old-fashioned ice cream, snack shop candies, bubble gum, beach time melodies, retro motorcycles, picture-perfect days. Nicely touched going through the teenage into young adult thought of life. And then there's that touch of where you get a little older and you get your third swatch. Fangs pierce infinite circumstances, our villains. Joker testing fate. Kind of like that idea of God only gives us what we can take, so to speak, what we can bear on our shoulders. Now, on the back end, does hit on that the sandcastle destroyed, yet we rebuild them. And like Jean said, it's not about how many times you fall down, it's how many times you get up to dust the sand off your ass and get back to what you need to do. So, I like this, Betty, as well as the touch of profound thought within it as well. Thank you. All right, Gray, there's a second song on that board. I think Jean might have labeled it Jimmy.
I think I can hit
it. Okay.
It's intro number 2 by Hendrick. Yep.
Okay.
You want me to hit it, Gray? I can do it.
Absolutely. Oh,
I got it.
There must be some kind of way out of here. There Joker to the sea. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there to drink my wine. Come and dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth.
Have one without the other for this night, so I decided we got to play them both. And I forgot one little detail. Dylan wrote this almost backwards. The finish should actually be the beginning, where you see those watchmen coming, those riders coming in, and that's where everything else starts from. But he used it as an end note, so you could actually keep on thinking on the story and what happens next after that, with the riders or inside that watchtower itself. So something a little different. All right, Dex, I got you on the board.
All right. This is Shirley Ann Durden. Comfort in Earth's beauty, blinding her godly awareness. An afternoon fun as any, peeking at creation's end. Coral reef scallops, extraordinary and abundant, fulfillment and connection, bound by curious activity. Swimming pool circumstances, balloon each deep breath, a false misleading confidence that proves unforgiving. Power and terror, perfect and prehistoric, striking maliciously, as precisely expected, leaving boundless fear and darkness in its wake as onlookers gasp, innocent mouths left open, left wide, as crimson stains the tide. A memory so gruesome, words cannot describe. End poem.
Great read, Dex. I'm glad you brought this one along for us. It does walk that note of both the kind of watchtower thought as well as time being stolen in the moment and a number of other things that fit into the song itself. But let's get some comments. Gene, why don't we start with Gene? Are you mutating?
Of course I am. You know, Dex, I thought this was an amazing write. You know, first, I was a little lost when you went. You were talking about the pool, and all of a sudden we were in the ocean, and I was kind of like, whoa. So I was trying to, like, stick with it here. Because it didn't take much for me to get lost, especially tonight. You know, I've been lost four times and barely halfway through.
Yep.
But what a great accounting for the story that you were telling. It was nicely done. I thought that it was respectful because I saw your AN. I'm not familiar with the story, and I didn't really know how to tie it into the prompt. But I was listening to Rex. I was hoping he would have talked a minute or two more so maybe I could catch on and have to sound stupid and say, I don't know. But no, you can bounce it over to me. I love you. It really was. It was nicely done. So maybe when we're done, maybe you can fill me in just a little bit.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dean. Gray, how about you? Gray, you there? Did we lose Gray?
No, I was just kidding. I apologize.
That's right.
But no, you know, I mean, this is an excellent crafting of the tale of, you know, a real circumstance that happened up Australia's coast where a 20-foot great white shark attacked a woman that was scuba diving and killed her in front of onlookers. And it's just a horrifying story, but, you know, you captured it quite brilliantly in your piece. Excellent read, Dexter.
Thank you, Greg. I think that third stanza kind of hits on a note of the ease and the things we take in life for granted from one venue to the next. Even though shark attacks around Australia's coast, especially from great whites, are very, very, very rare. This one was particularly gruesome. Her husband and a couple of friends had gone diving for scallops off the coral reefs, something a lot of people do. Shark come along and you hit them. Power and terror, perfect and prehistoric, striking maliciously as precisely expected, or in this case, unexpected. But the only thing, it was pretty gruesome. You can read the story on it. It does hit a note of detail that one might not be expected, but the thought is shark, especially great white, they don't usually attack people and they don't eat people, yet she was taken whole in a couple of bites.
Nah.
Yeah.
That's
what's funny is that I guess when you say it's unexpected, for me in my mind, that's what I picture a great white shark going. I guess that was doing, that was like from the perspective of it, you know, it's like to me, I think this is like the expected line was, I think it's just like, unless you know sharks, you would think that if you got in with a great white shark, this thing is going to bite you in half. You know? So that's why I kind of along the lines of he did what I would have expected, you know? So but you're right. It is a rare thing.
But when you spend your life on a coastline like that, it's something you do normally every day. You don't think about it because it's a normal part of living. And as you know, great whites particularly don't like humans. Normally they might take a bite and they kind of spit it back out. But this one clearly didn't do that, which was
unfortunate. This is a rare case that he took the whole thing. They didn't recover any part of the body. And the watchtower thing was just that her whole family was on the beach watching and helplessly kind of while it was happening. So
that's the drift I got from that. So you did this well and right. Nicely done, Dex. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We've got next we can go with we've got a SoundCloud for Gerald Green, the Joker and the Thief.
Okay, I'll get that.
The Joker and the Thief, written and read by Gerald Green. His voice awaited, always ready, volume set to high, for any new encounter. Silence was his enemy. He'd kiss the ladies, grip the hands of men, and crush with all his might. The Joker played his game. Great stories were his trademark, never two the same, rolling off a silver tongue to entertain and maybe more. Building confidence grew like a weed, overcoming incrementally, sucking nutrients with its roots, blocking sun with crusty leaves. Black SUVs came by one summer day. Men with warrants combed his house, took his laptop and thick files. The voice quivered in response. No trial ensued, just signatures, admitting fraud and embezzlement. The voice denied a false intent with claims of temporary loss. Investigations cost used all the funds. Each client's losses grew until there was no money left. Dreams of wealth died suddenly. The Joker was a thief.
Great read there, Gerald. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. All right, Dex, why don't we start with you?
Well, he's always got a great reading voice, and I always enjoy his SoundCloud. He weaves us through this great tale here. Crush with all of his might, the Joker plays his game. Sucking nutrients with its roots, blocking sun and crusty leaves. This is a thief. You know, the Joker was a thief. It's just one of these swindler types, and the jig was up, so to speak. And so I liked how it finished. And it definitely was no longer a joke. So I thought it was a great write.
Excellent. Thank you, Jack. Gray, how about you?
It's a beautiful presentation in his read. But I like the storyline of the Joker being the thief. That really flips things on its head as far as the storyline goes, which is a fascinating take on the prompt. So excellent write. And a fabulous read.
Thank you very much. And Gene, how about you? But you got on mute first.
Damn it. Okay, damn it. That's what I got to say about that. Anyway, I thought that Gerald did a great job with this. The story was really well told throughout. And I thought that he tied it in nicely to the prompt. So in that respect, it was a good take on the prompt. So thank you, Gerald, for sharing with us. Oh, my God. I want to get it. I promise.
This was played well with the Joker on this angle. The back end of this kind of hits on the idea of what really is going on, the loss of that which is. Investigations cost used all the funds. Each client's losses grew until there was no money left. Dreams of wealth died suddenly. The Joker was a thief. It's on that note of the ease and how the ease of power or the ease of having that type of power to actually mitigate the destruction of someone, many people, on any noted table and draw them into that which they cannot win because, hey, you know what? The powerful, the government has all the money. They can spend whatever they want to prosecute, even if they're wrong, and they'll wear out their marks in the end. So I think that's the operative thought here, Gerald. Thank you very much. I think, Jean, you there?
I am.
This one's
yes,
for you.
I am.
A Way Out is Always There by Rain 74474.
Okay. Well, let me. So far, so good. I'm here. A Way Out is Always There by Rain 474. There must be, yeah, must be some kind of way out of here. Yeah, out of here. Breaking the shackles of fear. Yeah, you heard it clear. It's the fear making me like a wild bear. You heard it clear. Oh, yeah, a wild bear. There must be, yeah, there must be some kind of way out of here. Yeah, out of here. Flying like the dragon, though no, with no glory, yet admiring myself, spewing the fire when I'm in the danger. There must be, yeah, must be some kind of way out of here. Yeah, out of here. Something like a butterfly wearing colorful coat, spreading smiling, making world the heaven he dreamt. There must be, yeah, must be some kind of way out of here. Yeah, out of here. End of poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. And Gray, why don't we start with you, please?
I like it. I mean, it had a very lyrical quality, you know, capturing the rhythm of the song. And breaking the shackles of fear. Yeah, you heard it clear. It's the fear making me like a wild bear. You heard it clear. Oh, yeah, a wild bear. And I like the repetition of the opening stanza. There must be, yeah, must be some kind of way out of here. Yeah, out of here. And then I like the juxtaposition between the dragon and the butterfly. You know, they're so opposite poles that it's just an incredible relation to the two. So just a beautiful, right?
Excellent. Thank you, Graham. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah. You know, I think that... it was a good job. I liked everything that Gray had to say. And also, you know, I kind of took it as kind of, I mean, obviously there's a dragon isn't a natural thing, but just it almost kind of relied on the animals' natural traits that they had as being their way out of here, you know, a bear being wild and strong and breaking out of the shackles, you know, the dragon breathes fire. The butterfly uses that wonderful coat, you know, to kind of blend in and or just, you know, as camouflage and makes the world smile. So it just seemed like they were trying to insinuate on your way out of here is what kind of comes natural to you as whatever you are. So I thought it was a great write.
I like that. Thank you, Jack. And Gene, you got to read it. What about you?
You know, I kind of like the repeat lines. You know, I thought that really it gave it the feel of the prompt. You know, there must be, yes, must be some kind of way out of here. I mean, obviously that draws you to the prompt. And I thought that the bear and the dragon were and the butterfly were all intriguing elements to put into it. This one here, something like a butterfly wearing colorful coat, spreading, I think that's supposed to be smiles, spreading smiles, making world the heaven we dreamt. You know, a transitional period right there is what I see. You know, every time you talk about a butterfly, that's what I imagine it is. And I think that it was a clever take on the prompt and nicely done. So good work, Rain, and thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Gene.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gene. I think you guys hit on a number of things. The thought between the bear, the dragon, and the butterfly are nice allusions that kind of hit on a few things. The bear, the one who's strong enough to break the shackles, that which binds us, that fear that holds us from doing things. The dragon is that note of flying like the dragon, though with no glory, because that's important, yet admiring thyself, spewing the fire when in the danger. There is a clever note there to looking at yourself within new eyes instead of putting yourself down, so to speak, and standing up for yourself with that thought through spewing fire when in danger. Now, once you get past that point, you hit on the butterfly wearing a colorful coat, spreading, smiling, making world the heaven we dream. It's that note of once you've broken out of the challenges that bind you with fear, and you hold yourself up with the strength of the dragon, knowing that you can fight back if you need to, but you realize while transforming as Gene was put into the butterfly, you hold all of that within yourself anyway, and this is where you want to be. That note of flicker, that flutter, that freedom of floating wherever you go and spreading some happiness, some joy, maybe even the smiles. It's a note of being able to blend in with everything and nothing to fear anymore, because she's transformed from one angle to another angle and finally to the butterfly, which is where she wanted to be to begin with. Nicely done, Rain. Thank you. All right. There you go. Dre, this one's for you. An Owl Fantasia by Jack Blue.
Okay. Like a prince imprisoned high above the ravens passing by, but far below the heavy clouds, I just observe a sea of shrouds stretching all around the city, where no angel might feel pity. Ravens, what do you create with your dissonant debate, reverberating stupidly on the ocean embassy, like a hollow requiem for the mad or one of them, imagining a distant flower idly on the ancient tower. I play a jack of diamonds or sway a pack of vagabonds if the joker shadows twist all around my mental mist and foam.
Great read, Gray. Thank you very much. Dex, why don't we start with you?
You know, I feel like it's a piece about mental clarity. I could be wrong. You know, Jack always has a very interesting talking about things. But he talks about imprisoned high, below the heavy clouds, you know, observe the sea shrouds. And then it just seems like towards the end how it just opens up all around my mental mist, imagining a distant flower, which is taking a lot of focus, right? It requires you to clear your thoughts of everything else and picture just alone that distant flower. I play a jack of diamonds or sway a pack of vagabonds. I don't know. It just seems like trying to achieve mental clarity. So I thought it was good. Well written.
Thank you, Dex. Gene, how about you? You got to unmute.
I'm going to bed after this. I want you to know this. I can't function. I thought this was an interesting take on the prompt all the way through. And I liked I liked his last stanza and thought that kind of pulled it together in my mind a little bit. But imagining a distant flower idly on the ancient tower, I play a jack of diamonds or sway a pack of vagabonds if the joker shatters twists all around my mental myth. It pulled in a lot of elements, you know, I thought from the prompt itself. So nice work, Jack, and thanks for sharing with us, as always.
Thank you, Jean. And Gray, how about you?
I thought it was a fantastic write. You know, it had an excellent flow and rhythm to it. It just kind of bounces along lyrically like the song. And, you know, I really liked the imagery and the metaphors in it. It was very skillfully crafted.
Absolutely, because you got to take note of the title, An Owl's Fantasia. Even though it starts off with like a prince in prison high, there is that note to the owl itself, above the ravens passing by, but far below the heavy clouds that you just observe a sea of shrouds stretching all around the city where no angel might feel pity. That's a sorrowful note, and that reminds me of Knife Edge from Emerson, Lake and Palmer, because they hit on a single line that walks in a where only specters still have pity. So it kind of offers up an ominous tone. And that second stanza with the ravens, what you create with your dissonant debate. So there's a note of all the cackling and the cawing the ravens offer up, kind of hitting on that note of stupidity being an owl, because the owl's supposed to represent the wise old sage, so to speak. Yet ravens aren't stupid. They're very intelligent birds. Yet he's considering them below his station, so to speak. And he's, what are you offering up? Olympian embassy, like a hollow requiem for the mad or one of them? It's almost like he's offering that note to the ravens being those forebearers of death or that which is coming. And the back end, I get the impression of imagining a distant flower idly on the ancient tower. I play a jack of diamonds or sway a pack of vagabonds. If the joker's shadows twist all around my mental mist, there's often those thoughts of the ravens, if they get too much with their cackling, their cawing, and their buzzing about, he'll imagine something else that brings on a note of a pleasure past the that dissonant reverie or debate that the ravens offer up. Oh, that was a clever piece there, Jack. Thank you very much. All right. We got, let's see. I guess it's my turn. Chapters by Anguish. Pages died in whispered gasps beneath his steely gaze, where shaken fingers cracked the clasp of shackled yesterdays. And somewhere amid their endless storm, the words began to fade. Just memories etched in vitriform and aging masquerades. Old bindings frayed where fingers danced the aging sounds of dread. Those echoed ghosts of circumstance that haunt a deathless bed. And deep beneath his dreary eyes, a debt is slowly paid. And old regret left cauterized where dying hope decayed. Its ink, once bold, embraces gray as though it were a friend. The poems of bygone castaways just searching for an end. And somewhere past the maps they share, the chapters shed their guise, exposing souls in disrepair, entombed beneath their lies. His eyes imbibe the static there, bereft the peace they seek, a mind that's roaming unaware that darkness is unique. Rogue thoughts forsake the need for rest, reliving words they wrote, embarking upon a lonely quest to find their author's note. And poem. Ooh. Gray, why don't we start with you? What'd you think?
You know, I thought you did a fantastic read on it. It was very lyrical and rhythmic. You know, it was mesmerizing and deeply engaging, you know. I really liked the, you know, it's ink once bold embraces gray as though it were a friend, in poems of bygone castaways just searching for an end. I mean, that's pretty epic right there. And his eyes imbibe the static there, bereft of the peace they seek, a mind that's roaming unaware, their darkness is unique. And then, you know, the ending, rogue thoughts forsake the need for rest, relieving words they wrote, embarking upon a lonely quest to find their author's note.
I mean, yeah, just a beautiful poem, stunning imagery, and fantastically presented.
Excellent. Great. Thank you very much. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I thought that this was a great write, and I feel like this is poems of kind of almost looking back at their body of work, and recognizing, you know, you have chapter, if you had a book, if you had it's almost chapters, your poems almost represent chapters in your life at times, I feel like. Sometimes you don't always even feel the same as you used to. I like here in the end where, or like right in the third or fourth stanza down, poems of bygone castaways just searching for an end. You know, just all of those ones that we got in our, I started releasing some of those that I had just in my drafts, you know, and just as is, just because I don't even know what I was thinking at that time. You know, and exposing ourselves and mapping out. I just feel like this is, you know, where do the poems start? Where does our lives start? And where do the poems end? You know, it's like it's almost all interwoven into ourselves. Into the author. So I thought it was a great piece.
Oh, I like that, Dex. Nicely said. I get that too. There's also a note of starts out the pages died in whispered gasps. Just memories etched in bitter form and aging masquerades. There was an old regret left cauterized where dying hope decayed. There's almost a note to the dying of the eyes, so to speak. Its ink once bold embraces gray, as though it were a friend. The poems of bygone castaways just searching for an end. I like what you had to say about that. Those little tidbits that were unfinished, yet they do speak to some form of a chapter within our lives itself, and tuned beneath their lives. So there's a change in circumstance or thought with that line itself. And then that last stanza, his eyes imbibe the static there, bereft the piece they see. Static, that almost hits on that note of moving from paper into a computer. A mind that's roaming unaware, their darkness is unique. Rogue thoughts forsake the need for rest, reliving words they wrote, embarking upon a lonely quest to find their author's note. It's almost as if you've got the, where you used to write on paper, you might jot down a little extra thing that gave something a note of clarity or a backstory. Yes, with the author's note, yeah. If you're doing it on the computer, you don't do that. You leave all that other detritus, you wash it out of the piece itself when you do your editing. So I thought that ending touch was pretty cool.
Kind of brings you back to what you were thinking and what was happening at the time to be able to have our author's notes, right? I mean,
yeah.
A little tidbit. You're referring to what on paper, you don't get that. So if you read one that you wrote out that was on paper, it's just for face value, and you might not even remember writing this or what was happening.
Absolutely. All right. Gene, you there? Yes, no, maybe? Okay, oh, not. Okay.
I am.
Okay.
I need to be shot today. Jesus. Anyway, I think this was an excellent piece by Anguish. I'm a real fan of his. I kind of remember, I think we met not long after he got here to All Poetry. And following him through the years has really been interesting because his work is just incredible, you know, and the things he has to say are pretty incredible as you go through. But this one, I love this first stanza. I like them all because, you know, I love his rhyme schemes and, you know, rhythm and flow. All that good stuff that goes with it. But the pages died in whispered gasps beneath his steely gaze, where shaking fingers cracked the clasp of shackled yesterdays. And somewhere amid their endless storm, the words began to fade, just memories etched in richer form and aging masquerades. just, you know, that's such a great lead-in because it makes you really want to know. Tell me more, you know, tell me more, you know, and you do. That's what you want. You know, you just want to hear more. At least I do anyway. I'm a girl. What can I say? I don't know, you know, I love it. But I thought it was just an excellent piece and a wonderful rhythm and rhyme, as always, you know. He's such a great poet, I think, you know, all through the years I've you know, been a fan of his stuff. So. Great job, Anguish, and thanks for sharing with us. Excellent stuff.
And it fits the theme for tonight well, too. So, Dex, this one's for you. The Standing Ovation Model by Sucker for the Treadmill.
Okay. This is Sucker for the Treadmill, Standing Ovation Model. How do you sleep this night? Children, barefoot in all sorts of hidden spots. Kings, rule of substream, stands a shriveled ass in the crowd. And on into it, swampy earth, folks, turn into vicious circles, bound in deep reflection. End poem.
Great read there, Dex. Thank you very much. And Gene, why don't we start with you?
I find this to be an interesting piece, the Standing Ovation Model. Okay. Interesting title. And I think that there's just so much going on in here. A king's rule of the substrate stands a shriveled ass in the crowd. And on into some swampy folks turn in viscous circles bound in deep reflection. That's quite a bit of imagery there, and it's intriguing. I find it intriguing. So, I mean, I really have to, like, kind of think about where it's going, where it came from, but definitely interesting imagery and nicely penned.
Thank you, Gene. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you did a great job reading it, Rex. But, I mean, the poem is deep and it's engaging. You know, it really pulls you along through the write. And it's a very short write, but it has a lot to say inside of it. And that's not easy to do, so excellent job on the brevity.
Thank you, Gray. And Dex, you got to read it. What about you?
You know, what I kind of got the feel to it of was kind of like, you know, I pictured almost a State of the Union, you know, or the president giving the State of the Union, or I think that, you know, European Parliament, it's kind of the still the tradition, you know, they get up there and they say something and all of a sudden everybody stands up and claps, right? And then all of a sudden they say something and everybody stands up and claps. And you know, I don't know. It just seems like it had the feel to it, and the wording into it, that he's kind of taken swipes at the people running it and the people in the crowd during it by some of his language. I don't know. That was just kind of my interpretation. Well done.
Oh, I like your analogy there because I'm walking along that. A little different, but I'm walking along that same thought. How do you sleep this night, children? That question offered. That barefoot in all sorts of hidden spots kind of hits on that note of barefoot and pregnant, or too stupid to know better, so to speak. Now, at this end, the king's rule of the substrate stands a shriveled ass in the crowd. He just might be that shriveled ass in the crowd, but he's got that, there is that note of belief, where that turning viscous circles bound in deep reflection almost offers a cult-like venue, that Jim Jones angle, or any one of a hundred other people who have that that kind of persona in the moment, which gets everybody to look glazed over, stoned in the moment, and thoroughly believing, as opposed to what they should be with that brought up top, the question, how do you sleep this night, children? You should be sleeping very carefully, very wary of what is going on, because this is not a good place. I like it, and you're right. It is done with a short amount of verbiage, and it packs quite a bit in. So, thank you, sucker. All right, Gene, we got the last one for you.
Uh-oh. Okay. I'm not on mute.
The
right.
Plowman and the Soil by Pam Redd.
There we go. The Plowman and the Soil by Pam Redd. The plowman believed in eternity that was found within the soil. Amongst the worms and unturned rocks, they hunched their backs to toil. To find the gift of robust roots, to find the sweet ripe berry. But years of aching flesh and bones has caused them to grow weary. And so they turned to thievery, to put wine within the veins, and con for plates of food and gold, without the poor man's work of pain. Soon they began to forget who once was in this holy land, and their tongues and hearts quickly become the words of lying men. To come to find the easy life was much more to their liking. No more work and no more worries. The world was theirs for taking. Angels cried, remember men, how once you had humility and honest hearts filled with light, but now you reach hypocrisy. Once you walked amongst the wheat in the saintly loving way, but now your spirits are as ugly as a thief on hanging day. Go back to where you came from, the angels crowed and sang. Let your spirits now swift arrive, like redemption of the morning. But the plowman had now tasted the joys of an easy life and did not care if others suffered through misery and strife. They had become fat as dogs from the greed they once despised, seeing not the warning blinded, but the lust within their eyes. And so the soil is stolen with the plucking of the stones, and the angels walk far away from the plowman's condemned bones and home. Wow.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. All right, Dex, you get to kick off on this one.
Yeah, this was a great piece by Pam. Had great rhyming throughout, but just the message in it was very important. It's the problem kind of with society, is that it's like, you know, as long as I got mine, then it's okay, then everything is okay, right? The plowman, you know, I think is kind of at one time didn't have theirs, and all of a sudden once they got fat, then it was like, wow, you know, then everything is okay. Kind of like the system of money, you know, that we have. You know, it's like everybody knows that it's not correct, but the problem is that it's tough. People aren't really arguing it or fighting it all of a sudden once they got theirs. You know, once you're in a position to even change the system, are you going to change it? Because you're the one that's living high on the hog now at this point, you know. And so I just thought that this was a great write by Pam and very well done.
Thank you, Dex. Gray, how about you?
Well, I agree with everything Dex said, but, you know, Pam's ability to capture the essence of a prompt is fabulous. I mean, she's just got a fantastic way with words that just flow and dance within each other, and I thought it was just a beautiful expression, wonderful take on the prompt.
Yep. Gene, you got to read it.
You know, Pam always amazes me, and I say it so many times over. You know, I wanted to just say, yeah, what they said, because, you know, it's just, it just piles up. I mean, it was a wonderful, wonderful piece. You know, great stanza after stanza. I was looking for one that I wanted to pull up, but once you walked amongst the wheat in a saintly, loving way, but now your spirits are as ugly as a thief on hanging day. You know, that's just one. I mean, really, I can't pull one out of here because they're all wonderful and they all feed into each other. And she really tells a marvelous story throughout this piece. you know, lessons learned, I guess I could say, you know. Just wonderful, wonderful work. As always, Pam, so great job and enjoyed, much enjoyed.
Yeah, absolutely. One, two, three, four. That's that sixth one down. Angels cried, remember, men, how once you had humility, an honest heart still with light, but now you reach hypocrisy. There is that note of stepping away from the light and the word of that which once was believed, the thought to one God, many gods, or whatever God you paid homage to is no longer walking within the ranks. It kind of hits on that note of not just the hypocrisy, but the sedentary note of hey, what's mine is mine, what's yours is mine, and the laziness that walks within it because you've forgotten what real work is. The thoughts of growing wheat, tomatoes, corn, that which feeds you as well as other people, and once you get past that note of living and using and walking past the thought of honest work, you've given up on things. Moral decay sets into the point where you hold nothing within your heart that actually presents what once you were. That's where the hypocrisy comes in. And that bite on the end. And so the sword is stolen with the plucking of the stones. And the angels walk far away from the plowman's condemned bones. It gives rise to that note, not just from the hanging end of it because it's thievery, but the fact that you no longer know how to actually feed yourself properly. The idea of growing what you eat. The idea of nursing a calf that's been sick from its mother into adulthood, so it can be used for milk or the meat that feeds puts on your table. There's that idea of walking so far past the original thought of that which was that we are no longer recognizable from that original thought, which is a nice touch. All right, Gene, we got no more, but we got a few minutes, so go ahead and plug your Wednesday show.
Let me see now. What's today's Sunday? Monday we have Lee Wildoven in the Garden of Enlightenment. I believe she's finishing up a Rumi quote contest, and she's looking for open poetry. After midnight we have you and your LBJ quotes, and you're in need of rights, correct? Everybody, check them out. They're wild quotes.
Yeah. I know.
But you can't talk to me. I got to figure out where to start. Tuesday, Twisted Tuesday. I don't know what our theme is on Tuesday at all. I'm not sure if it is Pam or Naomi. You know, I'm not always privy to these things. They would tell me if I start to ask it, and then if I think to ask it, I have to remember it. So it's hard. You know, I'm having a rough time with that stuff. Tuesday after midnight, we don't have anything. We have Keeping It Brief Wednesday at 1 p.m. in the afternoon, followed by, The Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Yes, I put up a contest today. Anybody who wants to write for that, I would truly appreciate it. Otherwise, it's going to be a very short show. I don't know, but I lost track of myself. So I put that up today. After The Art of Seduction, it's going to be followed by the Headliner's Ball with Jeremy, and this week, is Pam Ray. She's one of the spotlighted poets. And I don't know who the second one is.
Hang on. The other one is Jeff 1969.
Oh, nice, Jeff. Jeffrey 1969. Okay, awesome, Stella. Thursday we have Richard Weissman and In Art, Craft, and So on Art. I'm not sure what his prompt is, but I'm sure he's got a topic board up somewhere. And that will be followed by Break On Through with Pam. She's doing Break On Through every week now because Robert has taken over the dark show every other Saturday. Friday is Phil Myers with Poetry, just open poetry all night, followed by Part Sinner, Part Saint with Aphasion and Babbler. And that will be followed by Exploring Ekphrasis with Captain B2 and Daniel Deschino. And that'll bring us back to Sunday.
Yes.
Correct.
And next Sunday is
Whatever you've got, your favorites on Olivia Newton-John. Can be from the movies, can be in music. It doesn't matter. Just bring it on because she did just pass last week. So
yeah.
it'll be an honor day for her.
Right, absolutely. Great. That was a great call
and Dex,
for that
one.
Dex,
you got anything coming up soon? Dex?
Let's see. Dex has dropped. Dex has left
the building. Okay. Great. What do you got coming up for your next angle?
Right.
Did Greg drop too?
Well, he didn't when I last looked.
No, I
think he
I was mutated. I was mutated. But no, I don't have anything picked out for my next show yet, quite honestly.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe it.
Cool. Let's do a hit on Robert's first show back, The Solace of Shadows, was a hit early this morning. And his second show will be next week or the week after?
Week after next, yep. He follows after Gray, every other Saturday after Gray. That's when his
show cool.
Is. Yes.
All right.
And the first show was
is there a contest up for that yet? Or
yeah.
Did you have a lot of rights and left over from this show?
Who? Robert?
Yeah.
He did. He had 13 carryovers. He's doing a part two show the next Saturday that he does the show. And I think he's going to grab a few open pieces. Yeah.
Yes. Welcome to my nightmare part two. Excellent.
Yes.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Well.
All kinds of good.
Great. Thank you for stopping in to help out. And Dex, thank you for stopping in to help out as well. And Jean, thank you for the show.
It was
the studio, whatever, ghost in the machine happens now and then. It happens.
Oh,
so
I'm telling you.
You work with it, you move on from that. No biggie.
Jay, I so much appreciate you picking up that phone and calling in and saving the day with Rex, because I couldn't do anything. I was just locked up tight. So I definitely appreciate that. You know, awesome. So always been a team player since the day you hit the team. So I appreciate that always. Rex, great show. Great top. Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful.
They were all different on varying scales of thought. And they keep doing what I ask, is just dig into the lyrics, never mind the music, never mind the song as a whole. Just pick what you think out of the lyrics, whether it's a stanza or a line or mixing stanzas, and just run with the thought that you're digging into. And they keep delivering on that. So I like the idea of playing with the surreality in the lyrics. It rolls a different way to introducing music to people. So,
amen. Great stuff.
Since we're at the back end of things, Gray, thank you very much. Dexter, thank you very much. Gene, great show. Thank you very much. And we'll do this again next Sunday with Olivia Newton-John. So,
I'm trying to do it better next. Yes.
doing better won't help if you can't get into the damn studio and it's locked us up.
Oh,
so,
isn't that the truth?
Until that little squirt decides to open up its belly and let us back in.
Oh my gosh! Okay, guys, thank you so much. You take care, and I'll talk to you.
Okay, good night,
everybody. Thank you very much.
I'm back into AOL to get to the studio, right?
Uh-huh.
Wow, I'm talking to myself, I think. Anyway, I couldn't get back. Then I get back. I'm sitting here. And as we're talking, all of a sudden my son taps on my door. And he says, hey, that might go out. And he points over at the computer. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, my fan just fell and hit the router, right? I'm going, you got to be kidding me, right? So my internet goes completely out. I can't do anything. I can't see anything. I'm on the phone. I'm listening to you read. And I'm going, shit. So you know what I did, right? Since I only had a phone, I called Gray, and I said, and he answered, dumbass answered the phone. See, that's his first mistake. I said, Gray, listen, I'm doing the show with Rex, and it's only the two of us, and I just lost my internet, and I can't help him. Could you call in and help him out? Sure, Phil, no problem. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah, because, and then it wouldn't reboot, and it wouldn't reboot, and it wouldn't reboot. So I rebooted my computer twice on top of whatever the hell the router was doing. And finally, I got the hell back. I'm going, this is insane. You know, that kind of stuff unnerves me, completely unnerves me. If it's something I did wrong, I know how to fix it. But sometimes you just don't know how to fix these things. So anyway, I just wanted to share with you the amount of chaos that I had in my brain tonight. Yes, and it was a good show. It's a nice job. And somehow you got all the poems read. God love you. And played two songs. Amazing. Amazing. But when I heard Dex was on, I was like, oh, that's so awesome. You know, the two of them called in and saved the day. Because I really didn't know what I was going to do there for a while. And finally, I was back. And then asshole me keeps muting myself. That was terrible. Then I was like, oh, yeah, I'm muted again. Dumbass. And the last time you asked me something, and I totally answered you. And I went, yeah, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden I heard your voice, and I'm like, I did not just do it again. And I looked, and I went, yes, I fucking did. And I just shook my head and said, this is just insane. So anyway, I was almost useless. But at least I knew to call Gray. That was a plus, right? Oh, my God. Anyway, it was a great show. Uh-oh, did I lose you too? Oh, wow, I think I did. Okie doke.